I greet you well in the worthy and exalted name of Jesus Christ. We are here tonight to study the Word of God, to delve into the Word of God, and to learn from His Word. And so tonight we pray that the Holy Spirit will open up our understanding, will strengthen our faith as we were discussing earlier, and reveal more of God's heart to us, because that's where we want to be. You know, as we study tonight, I invite us to open up our spirits, that we may have teachable spirits, not only to gain knowledge, but to allow this knowledge that we have gained to transform our lives, that we may be transformed by the truth of the scripture. Amen. And so as we get into tonight's program, I invite Sister Chantel, who will lead us into a time of devotion. God bless you, Sister Chantel.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. Thank you very much, Sister Camille. I must apologize, saints, for my camera not being turned on tonight, but we're here tonight and we're going to do the Lord's work. Amen.
Amen. Bless the
Bless
Lord.
the Lord. I want to greet you all in the mighty and matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I am smiling because, no, I'm laughing. I'm giving God thanks because when I came on, I hear you guys talking about Job. And I remember it was about 2 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, God brought me to the book of Job. And Sister Camille hit the, what we say, the hammer and the nail. And I was like, but God, Job really cuss you out, you know? Job really cuss you out. But in everything, he still remained faithful. And I'm just in awe because, like, I'm like, but God, I don't really need to do a devotion because to the devotion there, because the theme that God and I just talk about is trusting God when it seems impossible.
My God.
Can I get a hallelujah, saints?
Hallelujah.
Trusting
Hallelujah. My
God
God.
when
Hallelujah.
it seems
Hallelujah.
impossible.
Impossible.
God is actively
Thank
working by a portal. God is working, and even though it doesn't seem like, even in the silence, because it seems like we are all facing this silence on prayer portal, God is still working, and He's reminding us tonight that we have to trust Him even when it seems impossible. So let us pray before we get into worshiping. Bless the Lord. Can you hear me, saints?
Yes, I can hear you.
Praise
Amen.
the Lord. Let us pray. Dear kind and heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, mighty God, God, I want to thank you. God, I want to thank you, holy God, because mighty God, you are God all by yourself. God, I want to thank you, mighty God, for your grace and your mercies. God, I want to thank you for your faithfulness. Mighty God, even when we don't deserve it, you remain faithful,
Hallelujah.
mighty God. God, I want to thank you
Yes,
for this
Lord.
platform, mighty God. God, I want to thank you for bringing us together another Thursday night, mighty God, to give you
Oh,
all
Jesus.
glory, to dig and learn, mighty God, from your word, mighty God. Mighty God, so that we'll be able, mighty God, to apply it to our lives and not just to
Yes,
our
Lord.
lives, mighty God, but
My
to
God.
teach others about your word, mighty God.
Yes,
God,
Lord.
I thank you, Lord, and I welcome you, Holy Spirit, in this place, mighty God, to
Oh,
come and
Jesus.
dwell with us, mighty God. Mighty God, I thank you, Lord, for each and every one who is here right now, mighty God, and for those who are planning to join, mighty God. I pray that you will hasten their footsteps because,
Hallelujah.
mighty God,
Yes,
Deacon
mighty
is
God.
coming to dissect the word, mighty God, and we're going to
Oh,
learn, mighty
Jesus.
God, in the name of Jesus, mighty God. I pray, mighty God, that you just cover us up under the blood, mighty God. I pray, mighty God, for internet connection, mighty
Yes,
God.
Lord.
For those who are having issues right now logging in, mighty God, I pray, mighty God, that you will help them to get connected in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, I pray, Lord, that you just have your way and that your divine will be done in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, take full control even now in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
Bless the
Jesus.
Lord. Hallelujah.
Bless the Lord. Since I'm going to ask you to just join in with me while we sing this prayer chorus, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord With all of thine heart, and lean not on thine own
understanding,
understanding, but
look on
thy lips
and
acknowledge,
acknowledge, and
and
he shall
he shall direct thy path.
Thank you,
One
Jesus.
more time.
Trust
Trust in
in the
the
Lord
Lord with
with
all of
all
thine
of
heart,
thine
and
heart,
lean
and
not to thine
lean
own
on
understanding,
understanding,
but in all thy ways
ways,
acknowledge him,
acknowledging,
and
and
he
he
shall
shall
direct
direct
thy
thy
path.
path.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Trust in the Lord one more time with
With
all of
all
thine
of thine
heart
heart,
and
and
lean
lead not
on
on
thine
thy
own
own
understanding,
understanding,
but in
but
all
in all
thy
thy
ways
ways,
acknowledge him,
him,
and
and
he shall
he shall
direct
direct
thy
thy
path.
path.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
Hallelujah. Glory.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Trust in the
Hallelujah.
Lord, mighty God.
Hallelujah.
And not just the fact that this is a psalm, but this is God's word. And we find it here in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Amen, saints.
Amen.
Amen. Bless the Lord. And with the theme, it says, trust in God when it seems impossible. I just want to, mighty God, I just love how you work, Father God. I just want to say this. I know we've said it before that sometimes God promises seems distance. It feels like all prayers are not being answered. But I want to urge you to just trust God. Trust the process because, mighty God, in this season of waiting, in this season of praying, and you're probably not hearing, trust me, your faith is becoming stronger. The songwriter said, while I'm waiting, I'm getting stronger, mighty God. And I just want to tell you guys that nothing is impossible with God. Won't he do
Amen.
it?
Amen.
Isn't he the same God?
Amen.
Mighty God, and we see
Praise
it in
God.
St. Luke 1:34 to 38 when Mary was like, God, me, I cannot because I'm a virgin. But isn't Jesus, didn't Jesus come to earth? Isn't the
Yes.
grave empty? It, didn't
Amen.
the blind man see?
My God.
Mighty God, didn't David slay Goliath?
My God. Amen.
Mighty God,
With
won't
all
he
of
do it?
them,
Saints, I
praise
just want to
God.
remind you that it doesn't matter what we're going through. The season might seem long. Sometimes it is long. It gets overbearing. But like Job, we're going to hold on to our faith. And it is okay. Since I've been reading also, it is okay to express yourself to God. It is okay because he hears and he understands. But just don't lose faith because
Amen.
God is going to make it happen. Because nothing is impossible with holy God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And while we're in the season of waiting, I'm just praying and asking God to give us the spirit of discernment, mighty God. Help us to know your voice, to hear your voice, because the songwriter says his voice makes a difference. When he speaks, he relieves our troubled mind. And I know that sometimes for me, it is hard to, sometimes it is hard to say, God, really? Sometimes they want God to come to you as clear as day to say, no, do not do this, or yes, this is me. But all we have to do is to just silence the noise, ask him to silence the noise in our head so that we can know that this is from God. Amen. And I
Amen.
know that while we're in the process of waiting, the process of trusting him, when it seems impossible, I just want to remind you all that he says, when the time is right, I, the Lord,
We'll
will
make it
make it
happen.
happen. Bless the Lord. I want to thank God for what he's doing for us as a ministry. I want to thank God for what he has done, and I want to thank God for that which is yet to be done. And I want to thank God just because he is God. Bless the Lord. I remember the other day
Amen.
we had that prayer meeting, and I came on late, and Sister Terry is not here. Bless the Lord for Sister Terry sins. And I remember she reached out to me, and she was just saying, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yes, I am. Like, it is well, you know. We have to decree and declare that it is well." And I'm sharing this with you all tonight, since because as I said, this is a season and it seems like it's reaching everyone on the portal. But in the name of Jesus, we'll all give our testimony at the end of this season, because we're going to push, we're going
Amen.
to pray, we're going to stay
Praise God.
faithful. It says, stand on his promises. He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hills would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember, when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on, saints, hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again. Has he ever failed you? He will never fail you. Never, never fail you. So I'm just going to ask Sister Camille to play that song for me, please. And I just want you guys to listen to it and just give God all the glory, knowing that we're trusting him when it seems impossible, because we know in Jesus' name that nothing is impossible with God, mighty God, and he'll take us through the fire again.
Times I've questioned certain circumstances or things I could not understand. And many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and then my frustration gets so out of hand. Oh, but it's then I am reminded I've never been forsaken, and I've never had to stand one test alone. That's when I look at all the victories, and the spirit rises up in me, and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. Oh, he never promised that the cross would not heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered our victories without fighting, but he said he'll put always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision, and the adversary says he'll be in, but just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and he will take you through the fire again. Oh, here's the key to it, church. I know within myself.
So God will show up, mighty God, and he will take you through the fire again. Amen, saints.
Amen.
Just remember the victories before. Just remember the battles before. And just continue to trust in God. Trust in God, mighty God. while you go through the storm. Another scripture I want to share with you tonight is Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. And it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." Other Bibles have it saying, "Be anxious for nothing." Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so tonight I just want to remind you again to trust in God when it seems impossible. I remember this saying have been bringing me for the past 3 years. "Lord, I do not understand what you are doing, but God, I am trusting you." It doesn't need to make sense to the physical man, because we
Amen.
know that when our Father works, it doesn't make sense to the physical man, but we're trusting Him because He is in complete control.
Amen.
Amen. I
Praise
want to
God.
leave. I want to leave with you all before I pray. And I just want you guys to take this to heart. It says, "If God has brought you this far, be still. Trust that He will get you through it. The Lord is faithful to finish what He has started."
Praise God.
The
Amen.
Lord is faithful to finish what He has started. And
Amen.
I've seen
Praise
something.
God.
I'm not sure about you, but and it just brings me back to Job. It says, "I have to get in the habit of telling God thanks even when I am frustrated." You know, like even today I was at work, mighty God, I've done him, and I had an encounter in the elevator that made me so uncomfortable. And I find myself running back to the floor that I was working on, and I had to go in the bathroom, and I looked in the mirror and I said, "But I am more than a conqueror. God, I know who I am in you." Oh, Chantel would have done. I would have been, people say vent. I would have been venting to other co-workers, but I found myself finding a secret place, going and reminding
Oh,
myself of
Jesus.
who God says I am and who
Yes.
I belong to. Mighty God. So He never said the challenges weren't going to come. He didn't say the battles weren't going to come. But in the name of Jesus, saints, in the name of Jesus, kingdom citizens, we are overcomers. So we are going to overcome. We're going to trust Him when
Hallelujah.
it seems impossible. Because
Amen.
what? There is nothing that is impossible for Father God to do.
Amen.
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 Bless the Lord. I'm going to ask you all to let us quiet our hearts while I pray. Bless the Lord. Mighty God of Daniel, have thine own way, sweet Jesus, and let your divine will be done. Father God, most righteous and eternal God, as we come to you tonight, mighty God, God, I want to thank you, Lord. God, I want to thank you again, mighty God, for this opportunity that you have blessed us with. God, I want to thank you, mighty God, that in the midst of the storm, mighty God, you are in control. Mighty God, I want to thank you, Lord, that we, mighty God, will trust you, mighty God, when it seems impossible, mighty God, because God, we know that you are in control, and we know, mighty God, that there is nothing, mighty God, that you cannot do. God, if you can't do it, it just cannot be done. Mighty God, you know each and everyone on the platform. You know the different season that they're in, mighty God. So, mighty God, I place their season in your hand, mighty God, and I pray, mighty God, that you will help them to pull through, help them to hold on, help them to have faith, mighty God, and I pray, mighty God, that you'll continue to give them the wisdom, mighty God, not to lose faith in the time when challenges come, mighty God. I pray, mighty God, that you'll continue to cover each and every one of us up under the blood of the Lamb, mighty God. I pray, mighty God, that we'll continue to be our brothers and sisters, keep us in prayer, mighty God. I pray, mighty God, that mighty God, you'll just continue, mighty God, to do your will and your way, mighty God, in the name of Jesus. Mighty God, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, even now, for us as a ministry, Lord. And I thank you, mighty God, for what you are about to do, even now, Father God. And I thank you, Lord, for that which is yet to be done. So, mighty God, as we're about to go into your word, mighty God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll have your precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father God.
Praise God.
Amen. Bless the
Amen.
name of Jesus.
Bless the Lord, saints. I am not sure if Deacon Scott is in charge of Bible studies tonight. If not, I'm going to hand over back to Sister Camille, our moderator for tonight. Bless the Lord, saints.
Bless the Lord. Thank you so much, Sister Chantel, for that beautiful devotion, for setting the pace, you know, for the word that is to come, reminding us, you know, to trust the Lord even in difficult situations, you know. Very powerful devotion. My heart is encouraged and I am richly blessed. I will not take up any more time. I'm just going to invite Deacon Scott to come and we will get right into the word. I will encourage us to just get a pen and a notebook, and let us write down as the man of God shares. Because sometimes when our difficult seasons come and we need a word and we can't find a word to pray, and sometimes we just go back through our notes and it encourages us. And I'm telling you from experience, amen. So if you don't have your book and your pen yet, go ahead and get it. And don't just put it on a paper, because then you're going to lose it and you put it in the trash and you don't have it. You know, but get a book for Bible study, and you know, so that you can write down what the word of God says. Amen. It's like you're going to school in Jesus' name. That's how we study to show ourselves approved. All right. Without any further delay, I invite Deacon Scott to come and you know, present the word of God. May the hand of God rest upon you, Deacon. May he anoint you with his fire. In the name of Jesus Christ, may he pour out fresh anointing upon you to consume you. Hallelujah. May he put you on
Hallelujah.
like a glove, that as you speak the word of God tonight, it will not
Yes,
be you who
Lord.
speak, but the Holy Spirit of God who speaks through you. May your people, the people
Jesus.
On the platform tonight, Almighty God, be edified by your word. May you be
Oh,
glorified in the name
Jesus.
of Jesus, and may the enemy be terrified in Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Over to you, Deacon.
Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Camille. Thank you, Sister Chantel, for leading us, ably leading us in the devotional. Also, I greet you all in the wonderful name of Jesus, our soon coming King, our all in all, our defender, our very present help in time of trouble. He is everything we could ever ask our need in our season of, in our season as we go through. Amen. So we just want to greet the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Word of God says the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will remind us of all things that he had said. So it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us the Word of Almighty God. So at this moment, I, Everton Scott, decrease so that the Holy Spirit will increase. Hide me behind the cross so he will be seen. I'm only here as an oracle, just to speak the word of our God. My word cannot save you, but the word of God is tested and is tried. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing heart of the soul. And marrow is a discerner of the thoughts and the very intent of our heart. So we're relying on the word of God this evening to do something among us. Amen. So we're going to continue to study on Acts chapter 5. Last 2 months we started it. And we are at the point where Sapphira, the wife of Ananias, fell down and gave up the ghost. And is not that, when I say gave up the ghost, I don't mean that she was relieved of the demons that were in her, but she actually died and they bury her. And that would come as a result of them trying to tempt or test the Holy Spirit. Them trying to play tricks and cut corners with the Holy Spirit, not knowing that the Holy Spirit knows everything. The Holy Spirit is powerful, and they try to tempt the Holy Spirit, and it led to their demise. Both wife and husband, conspired together. So we are at that point where they died. They're now out of the picture, right? So we're going to look at Acts chapter 5, verses 12, and we're going to go down to 42. But we don't want to read it entirely as one episode. We want to do it in pieces so that we can relate to it as we go on. Yes. So in that bit, we're going to look at the signs and the wonders. We're going to look at the unstoppable church. The signs, wonders, and how unstoppable the church was, the early church. Amen. Yes, and one of the statements that they would have said that Luke is the writer for the book of Acts. One of the statements that Luke would have said that Peter, Apostle Peter, would have said, he said, "We must obey God rather than men." And we see that in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, where Peter said, "We must obey God rather than men." That's one of the things that we struggle with nowadays. Amen. It's so quick for us to turn away from our pledge that we have pledged that allegiance to the Lamb of God, and so quick to believe men that we that are fallible, and commit to them instead of committing to God. But Peter stood and he said, "We must obey God rather than men." And I wish to God that if we don't leave with anything tonight, just leave with the fact, or leave with the with a makeup mind that we are going to obey God rather than men. We have already pledged an allegiance to God. And nothing that will come in our way will cause us to back away from that allegiance that we have pledged to the Lamb of God. Amen. So whatever situation may confront you, whatever you may face, always have it in the back of your head. Let it populate your mind. Say, I must obey God rather than men. That's how we stand. That should be our stand as professing Christians. Amen. And we're going to look at some interesting points that will come up from this study as well. Question for you. What would you do if you were arrested for your faith, miraculously released, and then told by God to go back to the place where you got arrested? That's exactly what happened in the latter part of Acts chapter 5. The apostles, they were arrested for their faith. Amen. They were miraculously released from the prison. Prison door fly let them out, and they were commanded, they were told by the angel to go right back to the very place where they were arrested, and to do the very same things that they were doing. It takes faith, it takes trust to really go back. It takes knowing the character of God. It takes knowing the voice of God to because you are in a situation, right? And you are being persecuted for that situation that you were in. They were preaching the word in the temple. They were preaching the word, amen, of the risen Christ. And they were seized and they were locked up in prison for that. And here is it now that the door of the prison opened. God released them out of it. And then he would tell them to go back to the temple, to go back to that place and preach the very same words, say the same things. It takes faith. And they didn't question it. The apostles, they didn't question it. You know, they went back and they did just that. You know, so as we look at this passage, there's much encouragement in it for us as Christians. And this passage unfolds. It will unfold three movements. It unfolds the power, opposition, perseverance. In other words, we are going to look at what the script, what spiritual empowerment, spiritual empowered faith looks like and what it costs. Amen. Bless the Lord. Elder Edwards.
Bless the Lord, Deacon. Bless the Lord, Saints. Deacon, as
Amen.
I listen to your question, I don't know if you had want us to intentionally answer right now, but one thing that that pops out to me is that because of the miraculous way, just that alone, just looking at, just focusing on that would have been enough for me to go back when the Lord would have instructed me to go back. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And it also
Amen.
reminds us of Moses. Because remember, Moses was taken into Pharaoh's house. And because he had slain one of the Egyptians, he had to run away. And then the Lord
Yes.
would have sent him back to Pharaoh, you know, the very man who had taken him in to Pharaoh for the release of the children of Israel. You know, God is an awesome, mighty, and powerful God. And once we know that he's on our side, you know, we can be bold and courageous and walk into anything, you know, because he is God and he will deliver us and look after us. God bless you.
Yes, so true, Elder. And that's just a perfect example with Moses going back into Egypt after he had committed such atrocity down there. He went back to get the people of God out. And it's so we see that in our society as well. Sometimes we are at a particular place. Maybe that place that you're at, it's not really anything to like admire or to look up to. And you got saved. And you got saved, and God would send you right back to that place to work or continue your life at that place. You know? And you'd wonder why God didn't take you away from there. But he sent you back there because he have a reason for you being there. He
Amen.
want to sh your light to so shine before men that they will see God through you. He have somebody in that place that he want to save and to use, you know.
Yeah.
So he would take you out and send you back in there, you know, to show forth his glory.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, so we're going to look at what spirit empowered faith looks like and what it costs to be to live a life of faith. Amen. So the first movement that we're going to look at is the power that draws and disturbs. You know, the power of the apostles draws and disturbs. Amen. And first we're going to read Acts chapter 5, 12, verses 12 to 16. Anyone there could care that cares to read it for us? Acts chapter 5, 12 to 16.
I'm there, Deacon, but I have the New Living Translation. That's the version I have tonight.
Yes, go ahead, sis.
The apostles were performing many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple in an area known as Solomon's Colonnade. But no one else dared to join them, even though all the people had high regard for them. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord's crowds of both men and women. As a result of the apostles' work, people sick were brought out to the onto the streets on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall across some of them as he went by. Crowds came from the villages around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those possessed by evil spirits, and they were all healed.
Amen, amen.
God.
Thank you, Sister Camille. They were all healed. Amen. The apostles performed many signs and wonders. More men and women, they believe the sick was brought there so that Peter's shadow may fall on some of them. I want you to look carefully at Apostle Peter. Just look at Peter. Look how anointed he was there. How anointed our brother Peter was. Look how steadfast and assertive he was. He was the same one who denied Christ three times, Yeah, he was the same one who said, who denied and said, I don't know this man. I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. Even when they said that you sound like him. Even when they said that we see you, you are the one that cut off my ears. I've seen you with the sword and you cut off my ears, Malthus, ears. He said, I see you in the garden. He said, no, it's not me. It wasn't me. And this is the same man that Christ would have anointed and said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And if you realize that every confrontation or every interaction with the regular populace, it was Peter who answered them. Remember, Peter had that spirit of braveness upon him, Even when Christ came to the apostles and he said, who do men say that I am? You'd ask the apostles, the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they were there, startled, not knowing what to answer. And then Christ would have asked, then who do you say that I am? And Peter would have rose up and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus would have said, flesh and blood did not reveal that unto you, but God himself would have revealed it to you. And this is the same man that is so brave, standing and so assertive when the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. The Spirit of the Lord make a difference, people of God. The Spirit of the Lord makes a difference when the Spirit of
Amen.
the Lord is upon you. You can move mountains.
Yes, it's true.
Yes, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, you can leap through the armies and you can make a way. Even when the enemies are up against you, you can be so firm because you know in whom you believe. That is something that we as a people of God need to make sure that we're armed with. Make sure that we're armed with the Spirit of God, because without His Spirit, we can do nothing. Amen. So we're going to look at miracles. There were miracles, signs, and wonders. And I want to tell you this evening that the signs and the wonders are not destination. The signs and the wonders that the people would have seen are what the apostles would have performed. They were not destination. They were just a signpost. You know what a signpost does? Points the way where you should go. So those signposts, when the people see the signs and miracles, the signpost that is there would show them that Jesus is alive. So with those signs and miracles, it will show that Jesus is alive. And that's what the message is all about. Jesus is alive. They know that he was crucified. They know that they did him harm. They know that, but they wasn't they do they didn't know. Are they want to block the very thought of knowing that he's now alive after all that happened on Friday, that Friday evening. They don't know the intricacies of it and stuff. These are the people that Peter, the apostles, were ministering to. They didn't know. It's as if they don't want to believe that Jesus is alive after they have seen a man so badly beaten. They have seen a man that was so badly beaten one Friday. and crucifixion day. They could not understand our man that was so bloody, all over him, blood flows all over him. You know, with even a spear drove through his side. They couldn't understand how comes that same man come Sunday was alive and well. You know, and that's what the message the apostles were preaching. So the miracles and the signs and the wonders were signposts. Jesus is alive, right? And it shows Jesus' authority through his people, through the apostles. It shows how Jesus is now working in and among his people. Amen. They are now endued with power. You remember, Sister Nadine would have done that part in Acts chapter 1 and 2, where they waited in Jerusalem, and now they are endued with power. The Holy Spirit came upon them on the day of Pentecost. You know, so these are people now that are being endued with power. You know, yes, because now Jesus is alive in and among his people. And he had said to us before he leave, he had said to his disciples, say, greater work than what he did, we will do, because he go on to the Father. Amen. So we are seeing now greater work that are happening in and among people, right? And possibly the ones that miraculous signs and wonders were happening to were unbelievers, people that have not received Christ, people that has not yet believed, but these now are signs and wonders showing authority through his people, you know, and it shows that God's kingdom is now breaking into the world. The kingdom of God now come. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom of God now comes. Thy kingdom come. Amen. Yes, we also see, apart from the miracles, we also saw there a church that attracts people from all sort of life. And not only did it attract, but it filters. And you know where that filter comes in? That filter comes in from the very first part of Acts chapter 5 that we read about Ananias and Sapphira. You know? So that's where the filter, you know, filter is what the waste that would come out. So you'd find people now not coming in like, oh, the maybe I should say there was like a sieve. You know, like a sieve that you used to sieve flour or so, and you'd have the fragment that cannot go through the fine holes would remain there. That's what happened. The church was being sieved at that point when Ananias and Sapphira tried to con the Holy Spirit. The church was being going through a purification process where it was sieving out the bad weeds. You know, so now with that the signs and wonders that were happening attracts the people, yes, but there was still some of them that wouldn't dare to come through because they know their deeds, they know their what caliber of persons they were. So we see there what was decreased was the super the what you call it now the counterfeit attachment. You know, that what was decreased at that time, that what was sieved out, and what was increased was the genuine committed believers, and they increase more and more. In verse 14, it said, and believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women, they were added. The church was growing despite what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. The church was growing at that point, and you have genuine committed believers who were in one accord, believers whose action Where their mouth was, or where their mouth was, that's what they act out, what they believe, that's what they act out. You know, so there was not no hypocrite people pretending to be who they are not. You know, people that stood the test of time in the early church were believers that were their faith was unwavering. Their faith was so rooted and grounded in Christ. They know God. They know Christ because they are pledged. That is what we call their pledge and allegiance to the Lamb of God. The pledge at allegiance comes what may. You know, the whole world was against them, was against Christianity. The Sadducees, they didn't believe in the resurrection. So it wasn't any point presenting the resurrected Christ to our Sadducees. Some theologians say the Sadducees, they were too sad to see. Not to mention the Pharisees. The Pharisees, you cannot present Christ because to them, because they hold the law so close and so dear to their heart. Some theologians say the Pharisees were too far to see. You know, but here are some people that possibly were from the sect of the Pharisee and the Sadducee. They came out by faith and they received Christ, and now they caused the church to grow. They were in numbers, a lot of them. All right, so the church attracts and it filters, and we're getting somewhere with this because further down we're going to understand what happened when a body of people come together in one accord. When a body of people come together with one accord, you know, having the same determination, or maybe I should say the same direction, they're heading the same place. When you meet upon a body of people that agrees together, coming together, there is power in that group. There's power in that group. Amen. Because remember, you know, the church was being sieved. I want you to bear that in mind. It was being sieved. All that the hypocrites was sieved out, and now remaineth people who are ready to die for Christ. That was what was left there, because nobody there would dare now to try to con the Holy Spirit again. Because they realize that the Holy Spirit is not one that you should joke with. You know, immediate death upon Ananias and Sapphira. Amen. Yes, so the church was not shrinking. It was not going down. It was not diminishing, but rather it was being refined. You have good Christian. You have committed believers in the body now. Amen. And I want you to hold that thought. I want you to hold that fact. Just hold it in your head a little, because we're going somewhere with it. When people of God are under one order, you know what they know, believe what they know, have a common conviction, know where they're heading to, know the power of the gospel, know Jesus for themselves. There is power in that gathering. All right, look at this. Not only did we see a church that attracts and filters and the miracles, sign and wonder, but we see our brother Peter. I admire this guy so much. He's so humble. You know, he's so humble. Our own brother Peter, his shadow, even in his shadow, there was anointing that breaks yoke and bring deliverance. You know, and we see there where desperation meets power, because you have some people that were desperate to get their healing. You have some people that were desperate to get their deliverance. And we see now where that desperation meets the power. And that's where we need to be as people of God tonight. We need to be so desperate so that we will meet with the power of Almighty God that is able to transform and to bring us into a safe landing. We have been flying around for too long. It's time for us to land. And the only way we can have good landing is finding that power, the power from Almighty God that would meet with our desperation. We are now desperate for a change. We are now desperate to be healed, to be set free, and we need to find that power. Now, in the first church, first century, the very shadow of Peter was able to stand in the gap and heal them. And if the shadow could do that, can you imagine what the real Peter could do under the anointing of Almighty God? Just like we saw where Elisha, the forerunner of Elijah, even when Elisha was dead and his bones, his flesh came off his and leave only bones in the grave, there were some people going to bury their friend or whatever, and they came up and attack, and they dropped the dead man in the hole that Elisha was buried into, that only bone remained. And when the dead body touched on the bone, it became him rise from the dead right there. That's so powerful. The bone was. So it just give us an understanding of what Peter's shadow was doing in those days, right? What Peter's shadow was doing. And Luke, when Luke wrote this, he wasn't, when Luke witnessed this and wrote it, he wasn't endorsing anything of it wasn't a superstitious belief, right? He's not saying that Peter's shadow was the one, was the thing that healed or set free those that were afflicted. Is but it is God is the healer. God is the healer. The apostle Peter and the other apostles, they were just instruments that God would use to carry forth his work here on earth. You know, so they were desperate and people got their healing. And the Bible said all were healed. Every one of them were healed. None went home the way they came. Whatever they needed, it was supplied. Everything that they were going through that would affect them negatively has now turned around. Their whole life has now turned around. All were healed. You know, and this moment that we are seeing here, just it displays the fullness of Christ's authority and compassion. You know, and even though it displays that authority and compassion of Christ, it still leaves a tension in us as believers today. You know, it leave a tension because we are now saying, why is it everyone that the apostles prayed for and the people of God together, everyone were healed. None of them went back the way they came. Why is it today that we cannot have that same healing taking place? Or why is it today when we pray, sometimes our prayers don't answer the way we expect it, or even answer same time? Or we still have sick bodies in the church. We still have sick bodies all around us. We still have people that have been afflicted somehow or the other, and the church continue to pray. But backtrack where we stop, where all the people that were gathered there, that were there, they had what they had in common was was faith, because now they're now underneath one order, right? They're now underneath a common principle that guides them. The risen Christ is among them. They pledge an allegiance to the Lamb of God, and they were now under one common authority. They were in one accord, and when there is unity, is when you have unity, it is room, is a breathing room for miracles. If you want to have miracles, signs, and wonders, let the people of God come together in unity. And you will see What happened? I always say this, you know. It's better for you to have like even six committed believers praying at a prayer meeting, you know. Six committed, more than for you to have 50 believers that some of them, their minds are all over the place. They are not settled. They are roaming around like a roaring lion. You know, their mind is not there. They are doing all manner of evil while the prayer meeting is going on. That is why sometimes, if you don't have a person covering you when you're praying, especially when you're in warfare prayer, you will be attacked and overpowered. You know, because the tension is already there with the uncommitted believers that are gathering around, that are there saying that, oh, he's praying too long now. He need to stop praying now. We need to go on to another thing. Oh, he's saying this. He's repeating this. He's doing this. And they find all things to criticize the prayer. And they're supposed to be in the meeting, in the prayer meeting, but their mind is not there. Only their body is sitting in front of you like a dead log. And they just
Amen.
bring they just bring more and more, what you call it now, weight upon the prayer meeting.
Amen.
So it's better when you have six or even two committed persons meeting, praying for the church. It's all right, more than to have a whole bag of people making a there and not being committed to their calling and stuff. You know, it is something that we need to look into in Christendom. Amen. Let's discuss something. Let's just discuss something. I want to hear from you tonight. You know, when, let's say, when you see God do something amazing, you know, we the people of God, when we see God do something amazing, what do you focus on? Is it the result, or do you focus on what it shows you about who God is? The result is the person got healing, right? It may be a prayer answer. It may be a physical ailment that is now the person is healed or whatever. Do you focus on that healing that took place, the answered prayer, or do you focus on what it shows you about God? Be honest.
I recognize the healing, Deacon, but the focus is on the power of God and what God is capable of doing. It's the power of God that enables that healing. So yes, I acknowledge to God with the glory you are healed. But the focus is my focus is on what a God, the power of God. God, you really do this? God, you're powerful, you're mighty, and the praise go towards God because of what he has done and how he has allowed his power to bring that healing.
My God. Amen. Amen. So true. Anyone else want to take a bite on that? What do you really focus on? Do you focus on the miracle that just happened, or do you focus on I do you let it lead you deeper into who God is?
Excuse me. Listen, Lord Saints, I was asking Deacon if it could be both because it has been over, I want to say 6 or 7 years. There's this one person that every time I think that I'm going down or God is not going to do something, he brings me back to how he did it. Like he healed that person and I can see that person still ministering for God. And I'm like, God, and I know you asked that question, like, why isn't the same healing being done? No, I think that's what you asked, or something. And I'm like, God, but me literally see you raise a Lazarus. God, me literally see it. I've seen it. And I'm like, God, I know that you have done it for her, mighty God. So what can you not do? So I was saying, can it be both? Because sometimes when I look back on her life and see her walking, she's still alive. I'm like, God, you're still in the miracle working business, God, you're still in the healing business. And mighty God, I know that you can do it for me. So can it be both?
With that, Sister Chantel. The miracle that was done is it acts as a reminder to you as you walk your Christian life, it acts as a reminder. But your focus is not directly on that miracle that was done, but your focus is on the person. Your focus is on God who caused that miracle to happen. Because remember, when your focus is on God, your horizon is now wider than it was ever been, because you are now exposed into deeper depths and higher heights, because he can do anything, everything, all things, right? So you don't want to limit just in a miracle that maybe a person that was sick and got healed. God can do far more than that. So if you put your eyes on the one that is above all things, everything else falls suit underneath. Amen. Yes. So it can be various miracles that he
That he
can
can
do.
do.
But when you focus on a miracle and you're going to keep your focus on that, you show a limitation in what God can do, because each time you're going to want to look and say he's going to come through this way. What if he doesn't heal you? What if he doesn't come through the way you expect him to come through? You know? It's going to cause you to have your spirit to be dampened, because you place your focus on that miracle that you have seen. But when you put it on God, when you put your focus on God, you know, it widens your horizon, because now he can do anything and you don't limit what he can do. Amen. Sister Camille.
Yes, Deacon, I wanted to. I agree with you. You know, the acts, the manifestation of the power of God allows us to see the power of God. So the events can put us in remembrance of what the power of God can do, but it should not be, you know, where our focus is. Our focus should still be on the Lord, still be on what He's capable of doing, and you know, serves as a reminder as to what He can do. I always say Mary and Martha knows Jesus as a healer, but they didn't know that he was the resurrection and the life. That's why they
Hallelujah.
were crying when Jesus didn't make it there. You know, but when Jesus showed up and brought Lazarus from the dead, they're able to see that, listen, not only is he a healer, but he's a life giver. And so
Yes.
that would put them in that event would put them in remembrance of the power that God has. The power is not limited to just healing. It is limited. It is extended to bring life in and of itself, you know? And one last thing before I finish, I want us to, you know, focus on the power of God. Yes, because sometimes we are led to focus on the person who the Lord uses, you know, to bring that healing. For example, let's say Peter, when Peter walked past and his shadow was able to heal. Maybe tomorrow morning you're not hearing about the power of God that was manifested through Peter's shadow, but you hear you know, the man of God Peter and him do this and him do that, not recognizing that yes, even though he's the vessel, the healing itself came from the Lord himself. And so the acknowledgement should be thank you God for using your servant Peter. But at the end of the
Yes.
day, is without the power of God, that healing could have never happened through Peter. You know, so sometimes we get carried away and, you know, our focus is on the person in and of themselves rather than on the power of God that he allows to be, you know, to be projected through that person. We have to be very careful.
So true. Amen. Thank you, Sister Camille, for sharing. Yes, Elder Edwards.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, saints. I'm in total agreement with what both you and Sister Camille had answered. We are awed by the miracle, but the thanks should really be given to the miracle worker. And I just want to share quickly. Years ago, before I even accepted Christ, I had gone to postpartum depression. And it was not an easy thing. It was hard. But even though I had not yet confessed Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I held on to God because I know Him and I know who He was. And when I reached the point where I realized that I was healed, this little song that says, "Your grace and mercy brought me through." That's where my focus was. I would sing that song every day, sometimes loud, sometimes whisper. I would wake up in the middle of the night. You know, when I think back from where I'm coming from and where I am now, I just have to thank the Lord that His grace and His mercy is what had brought me through such a situation. So in agreement with you guys, I just share that little testimony to say the focus should really be on the restorer. We thank Him for the restoration, but the focus should be really praising and thanking and glorifying
Yes.
God because of His miracles.
My God. Amen. Thank you, Elder. Yes, the focus should be on God Himself. Miracle working God. Yes, but our focus should be on Him. My God. Yes, and so we place our focus on Him despite what the miracle is, whatever. We have it as a memory, as a remembrance, yes, and as we go through our struggles, we can say that He did that and He's able. He's able, you know, but our focus is on Him. Amen. Amen. All right, so the second point that we want to look at, the second movement that was happening there, was the opposition. Whenever you have the work of God going on, remember, there will always be opposition. Sometimes the opposition is without. That means it's outside the church. But one of the worst opposition that you can ever have is an opposition that is inside the church itself. You know, opposition will come. Opposition is a must sometimes. You're going to have people opposing because you know why? Why we're going to have opposition? Because we have a real devil. You know, and if people are not committed, if people are not have loopholes or have legal grounds where the enemy can use them, the devil is going to come and use them, even right in the very church. The devil is going to come and try to use people to come against the very word of Almighty God. So we have to be careful of the people that we take instructions from. You know, we have to be so careful that they are know that they are spirit-led and stuff, because you can come up against opposition, someone that is blocking your destiny, that is blocking you from going into where God would want to take you in that season. You know, Acts 5, verse 17 to 20. Anyone there to just read that quickly for us? Acts chapter 5, verse 17 to 20.
I'm going to read.
Go ahead, my sister.
Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, and brought them forth, and said, "Go, stand and speak to the temple, to the people, all the words of this life."
Amen. Bless the Lord, Sister Edda. Amen. So the reason why the Sadducees would rise up against the apostles, they were jealous, indignation. They were jealous. Jealousy come over them. And you know that jealousy is a sin. We as God's people, not to let jealousy get the best of us, you know. Because when jealousy comes, it carries all sort of hang up with it. You know, because your jealousy walk hand in hand. It comes with bad mind. You know, your mind is not good. And it causes you to have jealousy because you're going to envy what that brother or that sister have. It walk with a whole baggage. Jealousy comes with a baggage with it. And that was what was happening with the Sadducees. They were a bad mind. They did not like what was going on, that people were now gravitating to the apostles. You know, people were now seeing a light at the end of the tunnel. People were now being delivered. People were now being set free. People were now being healed. They don't need to go to the physical doctors anymore. They don't need, because that has been snuffing out their monies from day to day, taking away their money, and they're not getting healing. No, people are being healed. The doctors, the professionals now are complaining to the Sadducees, and that they're not getting their customers anymore because they're not coming there again. And jealousy spark a friction in there between the early church and the Sadducees. They were the leaders. They were influential in the leadership of that of that place. Amen. Yes, so because of the jealousy, they arrested the apostles. They arrested the apostles. But our sister read that an angel brought them out. The Lord, the angel of the Lord, brought them out of prison, break down prison door and let them out and said, go tell the people all about this new life. You hear the message that the angel of the Lord told the apostles to go present? Go tell the people about this new life. This new life in Christ. This new life that you have been at liberty to preach in Jerusalem. This new life that has set people free. This new life that is able to raise the dead. This new life that is able to make you make a right about turn. Go tell the people about the new life. You know, so the real motive that we look at was jealousy. The opposition was not it was it has nothing to do with theology. It has nothing to do with their theological belief or whatever, but it was driven by threatened control, influence, and insecurity. They felt insecure because there is a group of people that were like-minded, that were growing and creating havoc in Jerusalem, turning places upside down, letting the word of God abide within, turning and turning Jerusalem upside down. That's what the apostles were doing. They were so effective because the power of Almighty God was upon them, and they now are doing exploits. Amen. And they were when the angels set them free, released them from prison. The angel of the Lord released them from prison. They were delivered for a purpose. And they were delivered for a purpose, but not. And one of the purposes that they were delivered for was not comfort. It was not a deliverance of comfort. You know, so all of you that believe that when you have been set free, when prison door fly open and you come out of it, when you come out of one problem, you believe that when you come out there should be bread and cheese, moment of bread and cheese, you're going to just relax. No, the Lord will set you free to work, so that you can do his work. We are his hand and his feet extended. Right? So he's not going to set you free to let you just lock away by yourself and you're just there, not being any asset to the kingdom of God. He set you free to work. So the angels open the prison, but send them right back to where they were arrested, right back in the temple to preach. This life, this word of life, you know, and the angel said, go stand in the temple, tell all, hold nothing back, you know, go. When the angel said go, it means movement. They need to move, they need to go. When he says stand, it means that they must be visible, it shows visibility. So go, move, be visible in the temple. That's a returning to the risk that got them in that prison. You know, if you if you they return to the very place where they were locked up. So God's deliverance is not just rescue. It's not just to rescue you so you can be safe from all harm and danger. It's a call for deeper obedience. He's calling you into deeper obedience when he rescues you from something. Don't believe that you're going to be all right now because you're anointed and you're appointed and you know the grace of God is shining brighter and brighter in you. Yes, it is shining brighter and brighter, but it's not there for you to sit down. He won't anoint you to sit down. He won't set you free to sit down. He will set you free when he can trust you, when you give yourself and reserve it unto him, and you're obedient to him. So you can go tell he on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what he's setting us free for, to go tell it all on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go in the valley, go everywhere, tell about the blessedness of Jesus Christ. He did not heal you for you to shut your mouth and keep quiet without even having a hallelujah. He did not heal you for you to just keep yourself to yourself and don't
Amen.
assemble yourself together with the virgins anymore. He heal you that you can testify about his goodness. If you think you get so puffed up and so high-minded that God has done something good in your life and you feel that you're going to sit down on it and do nothing to glorify God with what he has done into your life, you got a next thing coming. You got a next thing coming. You know, he set you free to call you into a deeper obedience with him. The angels tell the disciples that they must go tell tell about the word of this life. You know, may I remind you that the gospel is not intellectual teaching, you know. The gospel is not intellectual teaching. It is life itself. The gospel is life itself. It renews, it forgives, and it transforms. Intellect cannot do that. It's the power of God unto salvation. You know, the gospel, power of God. Amen. And question for you as we try to bring this session to a close. Question for you. How do you typically interpret open doors? How does this passage that we just read changes or challenge that your perspective of an open door in your life? How do you interpret it when a door opened for you? How do you interpret it? You're coming out of a dark season, and now you see an open door. How do you interpret that open door? No one? Do you see it as a place, as an open door that you can now relax? Or do you see it as a place where it's an open door that more opportunities are hoping for you to glorify God? Because one of the things that we understand in Christendom is that we always want to be set free. What's your understanding of being set free? Does it mean that you don't want no more testing? You don't want no more trials? Does it mean that you don't want to be tested and tried anymore? What's your idea of an open door? Is it a place where you can just sleep right through and become complacent? You know, or is it a place where you're conscious that that open door, God is going to require more of you. You got to do more for him in that season. Sister Camille?
Yes, Deacon. I was giving somebody else a chance to answer, but I'll just share mine very quickly. I think of an open door somewhat similar to a new season. It's a new opportunity. And in that new opportunity, and I always say, and when we think of new seasons and we hear, oh, it's a new season, oftentimes we get so excited and we say, thank you, Jesus. God is doing a new thing. But a new season does not, that statement, a new season, there is no guarantee that it will be a very good season. In what there's no guarantee that it will fit our expectation of what we think it should be. Because when we think of new season, we say, all right, all the problems that I had before, I will not bring it over into this season. It's newness. Yes, but it will, I think entering into a new season, going through an open door, is a greater opportunity for you to tell, to spread the gospel, because you're going to be able to tell how God would have delivered you from one season and brought you here into a new season. But I also believe that there will be adversities in this new season. Mark you, it could be even greater adversities than you would have experienced before. But all of these would come together so that we can be empowered and we can, fulfill a purpose. That open door that we walk through is not for a show. It's not just it is, but not just to prove the power of God. Yes, it's to expose the power of God in one sense, but it's also, to build us, to build our character, to build our faith. And how will we grow in our faith if we're not tested? 1 Corinthians 16:9 says, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, but there are many adversaries. So an open door suggests to me that there is a greater opportunity for work, a greater opportunity to experience God, and it could also be that there's a greater opportunity for adversities as well.
Amen. Bless the Lord. That sums it all up. So beautiful. So don't you're in a rough season now and you want a breakthrough. Don't bother believe that when you get that breakthrough, it's for you to sit down. If you're a chosen child of God, it's not for you to sit down. It's more challenges that's going to come upon you in that new season. And because you're now experienced. And because you now learn how to lean on his everlasting arms, you now learn how to lean on God. God would have entrusted you to go through that season because God has someone in that season that he want to minister to, and he's going to minister to that person through you. Don't see an open door as a door that you'll yearn for to go rest and to go sleep and stop praying. It's going to call for deeper diligence in that open door. So don't think of it. I don't feel disturbed in your spirit if you get a breakthrough from one hard season and you expect to go to a season where you just sit down and eat cake and eat ice cream. It's no ice cream season. It's working season. We are in the vineyard, and it's from higher heights and deeper depths. We're climbing Jacob ladder. Every rung get higher and higher. We're going up. So don't believe that you're going to go into an open door that you're not locked in, and there is no goal. It's now lined with the streets of gold and the gates of pearl. You have not reached the pearly gates yet. That's the only time that you can say yes. When you walk in the streets of gold and enter the pearly gates of heaven. But as long as we're on this side, we are going to go from woe to woe. Woe, woe, woe. Seasons of woe. But the grace of God is sufficient to keep us because He is strong when we are weak. Amen. The third movement that we're looking at is courage that cannot be silent. That's the third movement, the third thing that happened in this part of the scripture. We see courage. The apostle Peter said, we must obey God rather than human beings. Acts 5, verse 29. He said we must obey God more than man. You know, the accusation that the Sadducees and the leaders had against them. They said that you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. You know, he said you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching. And they said that you must now stop. We don't want you to preach like that anymore. We don't want you. They even went as far to say, we don't want you to preach in that, talk in that name anymore. They was even afraid to call the name of Jesus. They said, we don't even want you to talk in that name. Again, they flogged them. They see them there and they flogged. When they went into the Sanhedrin and Gamaliel is the same guy that trained Apostle Paul. He was under his teaching once. And, you know, so when he was accused at one point to get to fix up his excuse or his escape, he would say, I was once under the teaching of Gamaliel, but God, I've seen Jesus came and he spoke to me and said, I am persecuting him when I go against the Christians and stuff. So this is the same Gamaliel now that was in the Sanhedrin when the apostles came in because they were caught teaching in the temple again. And they were about to imprison them or whatever they want to do with them then. But Gamaliel said, you see, leaders, leave these men alone. If this is of God, he said, if this is of God, you cannot stop it. But if it is of man, it will fall short somehow. One day it will fall short. But if it is of God, you cannot stop it because you'll be found to be fighting against God himself. So we cannot stop. We cannot stop it. You know? So even though Gamaliel wasn't a Christian, it wasn't written that he was a Christian then or whatever, but the wisdom that he would have developed in that twinkling of an eye, in that moment, was enough to say that the Spirit of God that was working through that man right there. And he let them go. He let them go, but they flagged them nonetheless. They flogged them. They give them a fine flogging. All the apostles, they got a fine flogging there. And you would believe now that after the flogging, they would say, all right, I'm going to sit my butt down right here. I'm not going back out there. The first time we went, they locked us up in the prison. Angel come, let us out. Say, and Sarah must go preach in the temple. We are in the temple now. They catch us again. They carry us and they flog us. Next time, maybe it's not going to be a flogging, but a shooting. They're going to kill us. So we're not going to go back out there. But the apostles, them, they left with their beating, rejoicing. They were so happy to be counted worthy to get those stripes, to get that beating in the name of the Lord. Who on this line want to be beaten in the name of the Lord? They got their beating. They were comfortable with their beating and they rejoiced and praised God and said, thank you, Lord, for seeing it fit to cause me to get beaten in your name. I want to be beaten for the Lord. I want to be beaten for what? To doing what is right. You know, I want to be counted worthy in that class of people that is ready to go through it. You know, because then when you go through it, you can feel the very hand of God in the land of the living. You can feel the very hand of God taking you through. And that's what the apostles, they were feeling, the very hand of God ushering them into a new season. The very hand of God speaking to them, relieving their troubled mind that causes them to have a cushion in their mind, in their thought, in their action. There was now a cushion in them that the Holy Spirit would have carved out inside of them to hold them. Whoever heard about when you're in the hollow palm of his hand. That's what it means when you say that we are now in the hollow palm of God's hand. He's leading us through. He's holding us. He's not no more he's following us. Because we have a notion as people of God that want God to follow us and not we following him. And that is why we find it so hard to live the Christian life, because now we want God to we want God now to do the things that we command him to do and not to do the things that he command us to do. So we have it like twisted, and we now escape from out of his hand and walk in and say, follow me, Lord, we're going there. No, it's not so. Here's what the apostles said when they was beaten and they were released. They said that they were glad for the beating. And did that beating stop them from preaching the word of God? Did that beating stop them from living the Christian life? Did that beating dampen their faith? No. It increased their faith more and more. It let them be strengthened. It strengthened them. Godly beating give you strength. Amen. It gives you strength. So whatever situation you're going through, you know, this passage that we have just chapter Acts chapter 5, it gives some good examples of how we should stand as Christians. One, we know that signs and wonders must follow us as people of God. There will be signs and wonders. Amen. Number two, when the sign and wonders come, there will be persecution. You will be persecuted. We will be persecuted because of righteousness, what we have done. Some people are going to say, you behave like you're too holy. Some people are going to say, you behave like, you know, they're going to put all manner of accusation on you. You know, and then in the end, what stands out is you must believe. And you must really say, you're going to believe God more than man. You're going to pledge an allegiance to the Lamb of Calvary. Now comes what may, you're going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, whatever happens, you're going to say, I must believe God more than man. You know, there's a line. There's an imaginary line that we must dare not to cross when it comes onto our faith. You know, if you're going to cross the line and it's going to cause your faith to be dampened, or for you to behave lacked of faith or out of the will of Almighty God, don't cross that line. Don't cross it, even if it's a government line. You know, even if it's a government line. You know, if the government said, no praying in the schools. You know, it's not that you're going to go and call a public assembly and group up all the children and pray loud. Because the government said, don't pray. But you can have a prayer in your heart. You can pray. You can go before school start, and you can go in a classroom and you can pray. You can go before your workplace start, and you can go early and you can pray in your office before anyone else comes. You know, water it with prayer. Saturate the whole atmosphere with prayer. And when the majority, the people them come here now, they will come into the confinement of a sanctified holy place, holy temple. The spirit will be hushed, and anything that is unlike the spirit of Almighty God will have to go, because the room is already saturated. You know, so we as people of God, God will give us wisdom, amen, to go forth. And with that, we end Acts chapter 5. To God be the glory. I hope you have learned something from it. I came this evening for a word as well for myself, because I need a word. And presenting this word to you, I've gotten a word from it for myself. You know, and I'm going to walk with that word. I'm going to let that word go before me. And I'm going to follow that word and carry through to the destination that is going to take me to be picked up again by another word. Amen. Bless you all, and I leave you in the care of the Holy Spirit as you ponder on these words. Now hand over to Sister Camille.
Bless the Lord. Thank you, Deacon. God
Bless
bless
the Lord.
you, man of God. Thank you so much for sharing, for dissecting the word in Acts chapter 42. Indeed, you're not the only one that is leaving with a word tonight. Amen. I just want to highlight just a few of the things that Deacon would have mentioned that really stood out for me. He first of all dissected the verses in three parts. He talked about the power of God. That was able to heal those who were sick when Peter carried that power, and how our focus should be on the power of God rather than on the miracle itself. He spoke about the opposition when the apostles were arrested and then set free. And we learned that, they were set free not to sit down, but there was purpose, in why they were set free. There was work to be done. Hallelujah. And he talked about the courage that Peter had when he declared boldly that we must obey God rather than human authority. Hallelujah. He reminded us that there will be signs and wonder and persecution when we operate under the power of Almighty God. And so we want to bless the Lord, for the man of God and for the way that the Lord would have used him tonight. I'm not sure what our various situations are, but I'm sure that from what was presented, there's a word inside there for each of us. Amen. And so we just want to bless the Lord for allowing us to receive this word tonight. Indeed, it was a blessing. Indeed. Hallelujah. I'm empowered, And that's how we should be as believers, empowered by the word of God, to stand, focus on the power of God and what he's capable of doing, and whatever empowerment we need to go through our different situations, it will give us that empowerment. Amen. It will give us grace. It will give us courage. It has the capability of activating whatever it is that we need to make it through our seasons. Then the word of God is able to do so. Amen. Bless the Lord. So we leave the platform tonight, trusting God, despite whatever challenges we have. We might be praying for a breakthrough. We might just experience a breakthrough. Whatever the situation might be, we're trusting God that He knows all things and He's going to bring us through. So if we're waiting for a breakthrough, we trust and we wait. Amen. If we just came through an open door, we came into a new season. Let us be prepared, knowing that we're going into a new season, but it's not a season to sit down. It's a season to work. As Deacon would have said, we're not yet at the pearly gates. And so we want to remember our mandate. Amen. As believers in the kingdom of God, remember our mandate. Sometimes we have to encourage ourselves in the word of God. Speak over ourselves and get up and say, all right, I'm going forward in the name of Jesus Christ. Sister Chantel would have shared in devotion. God bless you, Sister Chantel, for reminding us to continue to trust the Lord. She would have shared about, her season that she's going through, and she says she does believe, and I do believe that many of us can relate, on this platform tonight, going through a difficult season, a season where we're just trusting God, not because we understand what is happening, but because we know who He is, and we know that our situation, our circumstances does not change the facts about Him. It does not change His character. It does not change the fact that He is God. Amen. And so we want to continue to hold on to Him and to trust Him even when it is difficult, because it can get difficult sometime, brethren, but we continue to hold on to the Lord God Almighty. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to be closing off. No, I'm going to be asking Sister Lem to just breathe a word of prayer for a deacon, as he would have poured out that the Lord will empower him and cover him under his blood. Sister Lem, are you able to pray?
Yes, Sister Camille.
Go ahead, bless the Lord. Hallelujah.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all
Jesus.
our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege
Amen.
to carry everything to God in prayer. Righteous God and everlasting Father,
Thank you,
as we come to you once more tonight, mighty God, we give you thanks. We honor
Yes.
you and we adore you for who you are.
Hallelujah.
As we place your manservant before you tonight, God,
Yes,
you
Jesus.
know him by name and by number,
Thank
Deacon
you, Lord.
Scott.
Yes,
Lord, we pray
Lord.
that you will
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
pour out your blessings upon him,
In the
mighty
name
God.
of Jesus.
Whatever
Yes,
he has
Lord.
poured out, Lord, we
Amen.
pray for a double
Thank you.
portion
In
that you
the
will
mighty name of
pour in to
Hallelujah.
him, Lord. Give him a next word for us, mighty God,
Oh,
as he
Jesus.
brings your words to your people.
The
Mighty
name
God, let
of Jesus.
each and every one find a word in it for themselves, mighty
Yes,
God.
Lord.
Apply it unto their
Hallelujah.
lives and live a
Hallelujah.
life, mighty God, that is pleasing unto you. We
Thank
pray
you,
you cover him
Jesus.
comprehensively under your
Hallelujah,
blood.
God,
Cover
mighty.
his
Hallelujah.
position and his possession, mighty
In
God.
the name of
Cover his
Jesus.
family, Lord, as you
Yes.
continue to bless and keep them, mighty
Hallelujah.
God. We give you all the glory and all the honor that is due unto your name as
Hallelujah.
we tell you,
Hallelujah.
thank you, Jesus, for hearing and answering us as we
Oh,
ask once
Jesus.
more for comprehensive coverage over his life.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Bless
Amen.
you, Lord. Thank you so
Hallelujah.
much. Thank you so much,
Thank you,
Salem. God
Jesus.
bless you. We stand in agreement with the prayer that was prayed, and we believe that it is done tonight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Praise God.